This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Welcome to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
All right, with all that bad news, you would think that the Republicans would be ahead 70 to 30 in the polls. That's not true. You just saw that Trump and Biden are tied. So joining us now from Washington, D.C. is Republican pollster Dustin Olson. He works for the American Pulse Research and Polling Center. Okay, so let's run down where the Republican challengers are now. Did anybody break out of the first debate, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, I would say that looking at all the recent polls, including our polls and other people's polls, that there's been a trend over the last few months that Donald Trump is solidifying his position. So a lot of people, I think, correctly have called that the undercard debate, but have people pulled out. I would say that Nikki Haley did some good for her. You see that she's bumped up in New Hampshire. She's now close to tied with DeSantis, as well as Vivek Ramaswamy seems to have a lot of the energy behind him. And as I've been looking at the race recently, we're not backing anybody. Currently, we have people in our polling firm actually who are tied to people on both sides of the aisle in this race. However, what we're seeing is that the race is solidly behind Trump at like 58, 59, 60%. And ultimately, this is about who's the second choice in case of emergency break glass. Who is it going to be if Trump were not to be on the field? And honestly, on the other side, too, in the Democrat Party, you know, the same thing. Right now, the president has 90% of the support in that primary, but people are also looking for someone as an alternative there.
But it's a different situation because Trump is going to run no matter what. And all this BS about he's not going to be allowed to run because of the insurrection, that's just BS. It's just garbage. Constitution is clear. Trump can run. But on the Democratic side, I don't believe Biden is going to run. His numbers are so terrible. He's declining mentally, as everybody knows. And then the next 2 months, the Republicans are just going to hammer him about the grifting and the money to his family. And it's just not, it's going to be untenable. And on the Republican side, when you say, okay, say Trump gets run over by a bus tomorrow, then the race changes, obviously, because Trump's out of it. He's not alive. But as long as he is alive, I don't see, based upon the first debate, and the second one's coming up in 4 weeks or 3.5 weeks, I don't see any of those people on the stage coming close to him. Do you?
No, I don't. And it's interesting. We've been, you know a lot more about the media than I do, but in a normal situation, if someone had 59% of the vote, we would treat that as a non-race. We would look at that as there's really nothing to see here. Yet for some reason we're propping this up like it's actually an actual real race.
That's a media thing, right? I mean, that's a Fox News thing, and they're just propping it up. Now, the Republican contenders are caught because the MAGA movement is so much a part of the Republican primary system. If you go to attack Trump like Christie, all right, the MAGA immediately hates you and you'll never get their votes. So the others, they can't attack the front runner or they just have no chance. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. So actually, if you look at Ron DeSantis, who's the second choice, he's the number one second choice for people. The number one second choice for people who are supporting Ron DeSantis is Donald Trump. So if Ron DeSantis goes hard at Donald Trump, all he's doing is undercutting himself. Same thing with Vivek Ramaswamy, right, though, as we've seen, he's very much, I think it seems like he understands that he's only going to be the nominee.
And he's going to be on this program on the No Spin News in mid-September.
Which is smart.
It is smart because I got lots of questions for Ramaswamy. And he's, you know, here's why it's smart. He said he's not going to duck anybody. If there's anybody that he should duck, it's probably me, because I know a lot about history and foreign affairs, and that's where he's weakest. But he's a man of his word. Number one, which is important to me. And number two, we will have a fair and lively debate when he comes on. I'll give the information at the end of the week on how we're going to handle that. Final question for you. Yep. The Democrats know they're in trouble. I mean, all the polls say that. They know they're in trouble, even though they're going to support whoever the Democratic nominee is. Doesn't really matter to them who it is. But they know they're in trouble with Biden because independents, they know Biden is a failed president. Short of Michelle Obama, who's a game changer, but we still don't have any indication she's going to run. Is there anyone that you see that's got a pulse on the Democratic side who could step in if Biden doesn't run?
That's a great question. We recently did a survey in New Hampshire, and we probed with questions with Democrats, you know, what are they wanting? And the truth is, most people in New Hampshire across party lines don't want Biden to run again. And one out of four Democrats actually admit that they don't want him to run again. When we gave him a chance to say who they would like, Gavin Newsom showed up, as well as Bernie Sanders, which I think some other polls have shown that as well. So those are the names that are bubbling up to the top. And it's hard to imagine that California would get exported to the rest of the country. However, that is what Democrats are thinking about.
Anyway. Okay. Well, he'd have a lot of money. Newsom would have a lot of money. But I agree with you. California is so far out there, I can't see it happening. Hey, Dustin, really appreciate it. I hope you'll check back in with us from time to time as the race unfolds. I really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
You're listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Say. Say is one makeup brand you need to be using if you love that effortless, glowy, no-makeup makeup look. Exclusively at Sephora, Say is certified clean and planet positive, going above and beyond to make sure each product is skincare-packed, high-performing, and sustainable. They have several award-winning products, like their Glowy Super Gel and Slip Tint Tinted Moisturizer that hydrate and brighten skin for a dewy, sexy look. Shop the Say collection now at Sephora.
So, I got a letter. Said, O'Reilly, we like the No Spin News. We like your news operation. We trust it. Anybody else doing what you do, all right, independent and covering the news in an honest way? And there are not many. But one of them is BernardGoldberg.com. And, you know, Goldberg and I have known each other for centuries. I mean, and we would go back to the Mongol Empire. But I go to BernardGoldberg.com, and Goldberg puts out commentary, as I do, and I read it, and it's usually measured. Sometimes, you know, it's loopy, but most of the time it isn't. And what caught my eye was that Goldberg, who we usually use on media stuff, is very outraged about this flash mob business. So I wanted to bring him on. He joins us now from North Carolina. Did I introduce you properly?
You did, and thank you for that, but I am outraged. I'm outraged like millions and millions of people out there are outraged. Look, we survived the Great Depression. We survived two world wars. We survived 9/11. Thugs who go into stores and take whatever they want, they're not going to bring us down. But society as we know it is beginning to unravel. As you know, Bill, great civilizations in history no longer exist. And our society is beginning to fall apart for all the reasons you just mentioned. When you could walk into a store, steal whatever you want, and there have been thieves since the beginning of history, but when you could steal whatever you want, no police to arrest you, no progressive DA who's interested in prosecuting you, so there's no jury to convict you, no judge to sentence you, no prison to put you in, no freaking nothing, no consequence at all. That's how societies begin to unravel. And if we don't find the courage, if we don't find the courage or the leaders with courage to put an end to this real soon, this is going to unravel even more, and we won't recognize, as bad as it is now, we won't recognize the America that we live in.
There's no doubt it's going to get worse before it gets better, but it's the fault of the people when you really strip it out. So last November here in New York, we had a gubernatorial election between an unbelievably weak leader, Kathy Hochul, who's the governor, and Lee Zeldin, a conservative Republican who promised reform and to crack down on crime. Hochul won. Hochul beat Zeldin. Okay? So that indicates that as bad as public disorder is in New York City, and it is bad, okay, the voters in New York, they don't care, Bernie, whether it's unraveling before their eyes or not, because the majority voted for Hochul.
You're right. And here's proof that I'm a bad person. They elected these idiots. They have to live with these idiots. Not my problem. But let me say this about the looting issue, because liberals look the other way about looting, about street crime, about the mess on our southern border, which you listed as, I think, the second issue Americans are most interested in. But let's just play pretend for a second. You're not going to see this, by the way, the looting videos on CNN or MSNBC, because, as I say, liberals don't like to talk about this. But let's just pretend that the looting wasn't going on in Chicago, but in South Dakota or North Dakota or Montana or Idaho, and the looters were all wearing big red MAGA hats. Oh, liberals would suddenly be very interested in looting and street crime and people throwing each other on subway tracks in New York City and things like that. They're only interested when it isn't people that they're afraid to point out that are looting. I'm being vague, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, African-Americans,
everybody listening,
everybody knows that African-American young males commit proportionally the majority of crimes in this country. But African-American innocent people are far
exactly.
and away the victims of the crimes.
Exactly.
So the liberals want to help minorities, but they really don't want to help minorities.
Look, and as you have correctly said, I saw you saying this, and I nodded my head in agreement. Some progressives say, well, they're poor. You know, they're depraved because they're deprived. They're poor. But most poor people are decent Americans. Most poor people are decent, hardworking Americans. And it's there's no limit to white liberal guilt. There's no limit to that. And that's why they look the other way when people are looting in Chicago or St. Louis or even California. They look the other way because they know who's doing the looting. Shelby Steele, the black intellectual from California, very bright guy, called it good racial manners. These liberals and progressives are showing their good racial manners. They're saying, no, we're the good ones. We're not racist like, you know, O'Reilly and Goldberg, you know. We're the good ones. And what's going on is precisely what you said. People are being victimized in poor neighborhoods. poor people don't like this. I would even say most Democrats, most mainstream Democrats don't like what's going on. But until they join people like you and me and the people watching us and say, we've had enough of this, we can't watch America continue to unravel, because there's going to come a time when it unravels and it's too late to do anything
about it. Yeah, it's too late to bring it, to bring it back together again. But I'll submit to you that in Chicago, the worst for minority victims, because most of the crime in Chicago is centered in the black ghetto neighborhoods south of the city, they elected an even more liberal mayor than Lori Lightfoot. So even though they're being... Go ahead.
If you look at the voting, who voted for who in that, yes, black people voted for the black mayor, Brandon Johnson, over a white candidate who was tougher on, said he was tougher on crime. But it's the higher end, higher income progressives in Chicago and in New York who elected Bragg.
Adams and Bragg.
No, Bragg. It's these high-end liberal, I'll call them elites, who think they're doing black people a favor.
Yeah. I don't know how they can think that when you got little kids.
Black progressives.
No, you got little kids being
black community.
You got little kids being done. You got a 60-year-old black woman on a subway track being beaten with her own cane. So
right.
Look, these people who you're talking about, these elite Upper West Side Manhattan people, they're despicable people, by the way. They are. And I mean, they're not good intentioned. They're haters. They hate me. They hate you. They hate Trump. They hate anybody in the conservative Republican side. But they know what's happening. They don't care, Bernie. They don't care. So they can cloak it under a nobility or virtue seeking. But everybody knows that a 60-year-old woman being beaten almost to death on a subway track, and the cops let the guy go. Did you know that? Cops let the guy go. They had him, and they let him go.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he had a rap sheet, a violent rap sheet, and they let him go. Now, because the New York Post, which is the only vehicle in New York that covers local news responsibly, because they put it on a front page, now the internal affairs looking at the cops. And I'm not trying to come down on the cops here. The cops know if they make an arrest that of a minority, they got to defend that arrest all day long, and they could get in trouble. So looking the other way is an option. But let's get back to the big picture, disorder. When the voting bloc African-Americans continue to vote for the progressive people, whether they're black or white, it doesn't matter. They continue to cast that ballot. They're voting against their own interest. And
yes,
that is the truth. Last word.
It is the truth, and they also have the support of those high-end white people, high-end economic white people on the lakefront of Chicago and the Upper West Side of Manhattan, who are, again, showing what Shelby Steele calls their good racial manners.
Yeah.
You say they're horrible people. They're not looking out for black people. You know what they're doing? They're looking out for themselves.
That's right.
They're saying, look at me. Look how good I am.
Look how good I am.
I voted for the
Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, the Washington Post. All three of those cities are public disorder unlimited. Yet all three of those papers, okay, applaud the progressive movement. And they're not what they used to be. And people don't really listen to them anymore.
Right.
But it's disgraceful. And I don't know. I mean, all we can do is present the truth, which we do. But if the poor minority community in America doesn't wake up, this is going to continue, and nobody's going to stop it. And that's the truth. BernardGoldberg.com, I recommend it. Go in there, cruise around, make fun of Bernie. He's got a little place where you can make fun of him. That's my favorite part of your website, making fun of you. And we appreciate you coming on. We'll talk soon, okay?
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Whether you're making a delicious family meal or a post-workout snack, choose the farm-fresh taste of Eggland's Best Eggs. Only Eggland's Best Hens are fed their proprietary all-vegetarian feed. That's what makes their eggs more nutritious. With 10 times more vitamin E, 25% less saturated fat, and 6 times more vitamin D compared to ordinary eggs. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com to learn more.
Here's a gem from the No Spin News Vault.
Remember a guy named Paul Manafort? Yeah, you do, if you follow politics. He was President Trump's campaign chairman, appointed to that position in May 2016. He's a big guy in a Trump campaign. And then almost simultaneously for him taking over as a campaign chairman for Trump, the Fed starting to investigate him on a variety of financial matters. On July 26, 2017, FBI agents raided Paul Manafort's home without warning. They just showed up looking for documents. Now, Trump had warning. Mr. Manafort did not. And they went in. And he was subsequently charged with a number of felonies. He pled guilty to a couple of them. And the other charges were dropped after he did that. He was sentenced to 7 years in a federal penitentiary. He served 1 year, 2 months, and he has a new book. And the book is called Political Prisoner, Persecuted, Prosecuted, But Not Silenced. Paul Manafort joins us now from New York. Did I set you up properly, fairly?
You set me up properly and fairly.
Okay.
And I'm used to being set up.
We want to be fair above all. So the lead question is, and I have not read your book, as I told you before we went on the air, I looked it over, but I haven't read the whole thing. If you pleaded guilty to federal charges, do you have a beef?
Yes, because the part of the story you referenced is the end of the legal process, not the beginning of the legal process. What I pled guilty was, I had two trials, two indictments. One was in Virginia and one was in D.C. The one in D.C. was the first one. It dealt with the FARA violations that they said, were of a criminal nature. They then brought, when they couldn't use those charges to get me to do a plea agreement and talk about Donald Trump in a way that would implicate the president in the Russian collusion narrative, they brought superseding charges to me. And those were filed in Virginia because they were dealt with tax matters.
Okay, let me stop you there. So it was clear to you, did the FBI tell you, we want you to flip on Donald Trump, tell us that he colluded with Russians, and if you do that, we'll drop all the charges or you won't be bothered by us anymore. Was that clear to you?
Well, there was no commitment to drop all charges, no. But the process was focused on leniency. The plea agreement didn't happen until after the first trial was over.
Okay, I don't want to get too in the weeds on this. So you were promised leniency if you gave up Trump on certain things involving Russian collusion. In hindsight, did you do anything wrong, in your opinion, just in general?
In general, the answer is no. And all the charges that were brought against me, for the most part, were all issues that the government had dealt with in the past and either resolved or dismissed.
Okay. So you believe that you are a victim of political prosecution because you were linked to Trump. You wouldn't give Trump up. And so that they basically went ahead to try to punish you for your silence. But then again, you come back to, why did you plead guilty? Why didn't you just go to a jury?
Well, the first case I did. I went to a jury. There was a 4-week
in the
trial.
DC case, but not in second.
Oh, no, the Virginia case was first. And I mean, just even though it was filed in superseding charges, it ended up being the first gag.
Okay. But why didn't you just play the whole string out with the jury?
Well, I did in the Virginia case, and I was convicted of 8 of the 18 charges. And then 2 weeks later, the Virginia case was going to be happening. The DC case was going to be happening, and that case, the jury was going to be selected within the framework of the first trial. I voir dired the jury. We had 120 questionnaires. In those 120 questionnaires, we found one juror who said they wouldn't be, they weren't prejudiced against
Trump. So you didn't think you would win the case, you and your lawyers?
No, I knew I wouldn't win it.
How much did it cost you out of your pocket, Mr. Manafort, to defend yourself against all of this stuff?
Millions of dollars.
Was that a concern that you didn't want to continue this because you didn't?
Well, there were three concerns as to why I didn't want to continue. One of them was the cost of another trial. Two was in that second trial, they had forfeiture actions they were trying to bring against me because going back 20 years on a violation that occurred, they claimed in 2013. I knew that didn't feel confident after the voir dire that I was had any chance of getting a fair trial. The judge rejected giving me a venue change. And in the assets they wanted to take were assets I had given to my daughters and family, 10, 15 years before. So they were trying to not just destroy me, but my family.
When you say the Justice Department?
The Justice Department Special Counsel. So,
and who was the Attorney General at that time?
Well, he was not in the man at all. This was Bob Mueller, Special Counsel's Office, Andrew Weissman. They were in charge.
So Mueller and Weissman, the guys that investigated the Russian collusion, they were responsible for all of the charges against you, and to use your word in your book, persecute you. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. When the raid in Mar-a-Lago happened last week, was it similar, in your opinion, to what you went through?
Yes, it was. For example, I had been cooperating with the intelligence committees and all the information they were asking for during the Russian collusion investigation. 2 days after I met with the two committees, they did this no-knock 6 a.m. raid on my condominium, 15 FBI agents, guns drawn, in my apartment, knocking on my door of my bedroom, waking me up. There was no reason for that overreach.
Was the media there? I don't remember. Was the media tipped off? I know CNN was tipped off on one of these.
The difference between Stone and me was Roger lived in a home. So they were walking down the street. They would have had a hard time sitting there walking down the hall.
So the FBI shows up, they show you the warrant, you look at the warrant, and they come in and they ransack your house? Is that what happened?
Yes.
All right. Now, you do believe that you are a political prisoner because of your work on behalf of Donald Trump. That's what basically your book is about, right?
Well, and in the book, I specify very clearly the fair charge that was the foundation charge against me. I had resolved with the Department of Justice Fair Unit.
Okay, and everybody will see but what I'm trying to get at here is there are people, millions of them, who feel that we have lost our fairness in this country, that we are no longer equal justice for all, that now the federal government is taking a side, the Democratic Party side, the liberal side, and persecuting the conservative side. Do you believe that?
I believe that there's a two-tiered system of justice, yes.
Do you believe that the Donald Trump situation from the very get-go, and you were involved with it from the beginning, as was I did the first interview with him after he declared his candidacy, do you believe that there was a conspiracy to destroy him, and if so, why?
I believe he was a threat to the establishment, the deep state, if some people call it, and I believe that that threat was something that they couldn't deal with. I believe that they never expected him to win. But when he did win, they didn't understand it at all. And they never recognized in his election, did everything they could to destroy his presidency, including.
Okay. After what happened to you, and you have been through hell for 6 years, do you still believe in your country? Do you still want to live here? Do you still feel that this is a noble nation?
I've done campaigns all over the world. There's no doubt in my mind, this is still the best country in the world. Our democracy is still the best democracy. The fact that it's under attack is not to lose faith in it, but it's to try and fix it.
And that's why you wrote the book. Again, it's Political Prisoner, Persecuted, Prosecuted, and Not Silenced, but Not Silenced. Paul Manafort. We appreciate it, Mr. Manafort. If we'll talk again. I think you have a good perspective on the government and what it can do. Certainly you felt that stink. We appreciate you coming on tonight.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Thank you for listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition. To watch the full episodes of the No Spin News, visit BillO'Reilly.com and sign up to become a premium or concierge member. That's BillO'Reilly.com.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.